Welcome to episode 2 of the Excess Reality Podcast. I'm your host, Allison Day, and I'm here with my co-host, Sun Nguyen.
Hello.
And we have some exciting, surprising news. Yay. We did not think that we were going to be getting our quest for a while.
Yes.
We thought it was going to take some time. It was going to be at least a month. But we just got notified that it has shipped. And by the time you hear this episode of the podcast, we should have it in our hands.
Hopefully.
I'm so excited.
Or have it on our head, Allison.
On just our faces.
It's going to be just, yeah.
On our
I'm
faces.
I'm just going to walk around the house with the headset on.
I'm never going to get to play with it, am I?
No.
Wow.
I'm going to be fully immersed. I'm going to skip this reality. I'm going to be in a new reality, Allison.
Access. You're going to get so motion sick.
Access reality.
And run into so many things.
Well, that too.
But yeah, so we know for sure that we want to get Beat Saber because we tried out that demo last time we had the quest and enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to that. But I want you guys to let us know, what else should we get? What other games or experiences or whatever, what should we try on the quest?
Yes.
Because, hey, we've got a podcast about this now. So we have a really good excuse to try things.
Exactly.
It's a perfect excuse for everything. I do kind of wish we had it last week, though, or a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
For that mixed reality dev days thing.
The Microsoft mixed reality dev days.
So this was a conference held right after Microsoft Build, and it was all about mixed reality, but it was held in Altspace.
Yes.
Which is a VR platform, I guess.
Yes, it's like a Altspace VR. It's essentially a VR game that is a social VR game.
It was meant to be able to almost mimic the feeling of a real conference.
Yes.
And since we didn't have the headset, it wasn't as easy to try it out. You could download it on Windows and get into Altspace that way. But we were running into some problems, and it definitely was not as easy as we had hoped.
No, it was a pain in the butt. Well, we didn't have a headset, so
right.
So and there's another way that you can do it by just downloading it through Steam.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like any other game. It's essentially like you think of World of Warcraft. It's a multiple MMORPG without the RPG part. And
you MMO.
Can, MMO.
It was an MMO.
Pretty much multi. Users experience, and you can download it on Steam for Windows. I think Windows only.
Couldn't do it on Mac.
There's no Mac version of it, so that's why you can
join
it. And I'm using a lot more Windows now because I'm trying to do game devs and, you know, XR devs and stuff like that. So I downloaded it. I tried it. I installed it.
He was cursing all morning.
It was a pain to get in there. It was so much. There's so much of a barrier to entry of it.
He was like, why are there tutorials in my face? Why can't I get into the rooms?
But the funny part is the tutorial is geared for you having a VR headset device.
Right.
So I'm sitting there and the game is telling me to teleport here and teleport there. I'm like, I'm not teleporting. I'm just going to use my WASD to move around.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm moving around and it's telling me to do all these things. And I'm just thinking to myself, I don't have a headset. Can you just let me in? I just want to watch this Dev Days, you know, conference. It went on for 2 days. I just want to attend these, you know, the conference, the talks and stuff like that. And it was just so much barrier of entry to get in there. And once I got in there, I think they're doing a good job with mimicking what it feels like to go to a physical conference where you sit in a, like an auditorium or a small room and you have somebody up there presenting it, the material to you. And so they mimic that. It's kind of cool. But at the same time, I just want to see the talk, right? I want to see the slide.
My expectation is when I'm watching the talks, I don't care about the experience of being at a conference. I don't need to be surrounded by people or avatars. I don't need to feel like I need to get closer to the screen in order to be actually see what's going on.
Yeah.
And that just seemed a little odd to me.
Yeah.
Like, I really wish they had just recorded it and live streamed it or put it up on their YouTube. And they were saying that they were going to post all of the talks, but I haven't seen anything yet.
And you know, I wish they would have done it both ways. Mm-hmm. Just do it for YouTube. Just give me what I want. I'm coming here for. And then allow people to go use Altspace VR for, you know, for people who have the headset who actually want to go in and mingle.
And with, I feel with, like a lot of people were talking about how good of an experience it was for the mingling aspect. Yeah. But then there was also so much frustration with trying to get into the talks where like the rooms were full. Things were hard to figure out.
Yeah.
You were talking about how you can hear other people talking.
Because they forget to turn off
their sound.
Their sounds. It's like a Zoom call, you know? At a new company or a new Zoom meeting you join mm-hmm. and everyone forgot to turn off
their... Nobody knows how to mute themselves. Yeah,
and then everyone's like just talking and the presenter's like, I'm presenting here.
Yeah.
Everyone's.
Yeah, so it was a little frustrating. I feel like it was kind of just the most inaccessible way to hold a conference mm-hmm. when they could have just made it so much easier for everybody to watch and get the content, get the information.
Yeah.
But then like have Altspace for the mingling, the after party, the socialization where you can go talk to the other people who are there, network, whatever.
Yeah.
But like, you don't want to do that during a session.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be doing that IRL during a session anyways.
Exactly.
So it's, I mean, heck, even for real conferences, I would be happy with not having to go sit in a conference room.
Maybe just because we're antisocial.
It could be that.
Maybe you're that antisocial. Is possible. Well, you're an introvert.
I am an introvert.
I'm an extrovert, but with the
he's an antisocial extrovert.
Yeah, pretty much. What do you call? I think there's a term for that.
You're an ambivert.
Did you call? Maybe? What did you call me? Did you call me?
I said what I said.
Did you call me a? And so like, is that like ambivore or something where you eat everything? What is
omnivore?
Omnivore.
Yes. Sure.
Are you saying I eat everybody?
Yes.
But yeah, I think it could have been better. But anyways, there's a lot of interesting content. If you,
I'm really hoping they'll post it.
There's a lot of interesting content that if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see that what we're looking at. There's a lot of interesting content about the HoloLens.
So many talks about
the cloud streaming, the Babylon JS, WebAR,
Unity, Unreal, everything.
Yeah.
So I had really wanted to see all these talks.
Yeah. We wanted to.
Anybody knows anybody, get them to post the talks.
No, but you know what? And the other thing about that was that some of these talks were pre-recorded material.
I think a lot of them were. People were saying like, why are we having to jump through these hoops when they're pre-recorded talks?
Pre-recorded. So it's just like a room where you go, everyone, a bunch of little character goes in there and then like they just play a pre-recorded thing in the front of the room. And it's just like,
but then also the rooms had occupancy limits.
I didn't run into that problem,
there were other people I was seeing on Twitter where they were saying, I can't even get into the talks because it says the room is full.
Yeah.
Which seems like I understand it from trying to, you know, get that many people in a room in VR, mm-hmm. but for an online thing, it seems like such a silly thing to have an occupancy limit.
It is because like,
this should be open. Over the internet. You should be able to
do everything.
Support as many people as want to watch it.
Yeah. And if you stay tuned on this podcast, at the end, we're going to talk about something that it's like another alternative to Altspace VR mm-hmm. that I really like, and it doesn't have that much barriers and stuff like that, but we'll talk about that
later on. So we were hoping to be able to report about what went on at Dev Days, at MR Dev Days, but unfortunately, since we couldn't watch anything, we couldn't really, but we did check out the keynote, which is on their YouTube, Microsoft HoloLens YouTube. So if you want to check out the keynote, that's there, and I think the fireside chat also is there, although I didn't watch that. That was at the beginning of the second day.
I think I got a chance everyone got a chance to watch the keynote on mm-hmm. YouTube.
Yes, because that was YouTube is live streamed on YouTube.
So, and it got it, I was so psyched. I was like, this is exciting. I was like,
we're gonna watch so much cool stuff today. And then where are the other talks?
Yeah, it's like, wait, it's not here.
We have to go into Altspace.
Yeah.
Well, screw that.
Never mind.
I have work that I need to do on my Mac. I can't use a Windows machine right now.
Exactly.
So, unfortunately.
Yep.
The next thing we wanted to talk about was a little bit about WebXR and Firefox Reality. So first things first, what is Firefox Reality?
Firefox Reality is a new browser for VR experiences or websites.
So would this be the browser that you get when you're in VR?
Yes.
Or is this a browser that you can use on your computer that shows you VR stuff?
This is going to be a browser. It's like an app for your VR device.
So, okay.
I think it's on Oculus Quest Store too, where you can just download the browser and then you can open it up in VR. And then when you visit a website, for example, when you visit a website that is VR enabled, you can, I think you can click on somewhere on there to kind of be immersed into, to enter that experience, so to speak. And it's a new browser that supports web VR, web XR technology. So, and web XR is essentially just a spec, a guidelines for, it's an open guideline.
It's a set standard, of guidelines, standards. Yeah.
For XR stuff. So that's in there, that's AR, VR, and excess reality, all the R's, right?
E.
So that's what it is.
Okay, so how would a website become XR enabled or VR enabled?
So they use so right now all of the
throwing him under the fire. Here.
Yeah, exactly. All the I'm feeling a little bit interrogated here, Allison.
These are important questions.
I'm not ready for this.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, so
this isn't an interview. Did you not know?
I know. Am I being interviewed for a job now? It feels like
no comment.
I'm like sweating over here. It's like, oh my God, I was not prepared for this.
Don't you hate those interviews where you're like, I'm just here for a chat. Oh, you want me to do a technical interview?
Yeah. What? Oh my God. You want me to whiteboard this thing in the background too? Okay. Hold on. Let me whiteboard this real quick in the back. But I think
it would have been really funny if you just like pulled up a whiteboard just, there.
Hold on. Let me whiteboard on your browser right
cool.
now. So, but in order to enable this, there's a few ways to make a website right now. You can use different library. Web XR and Web VR is the underlying technology is WebGL. Mm-hmm. It's like OpenGL.
Mm-hmm.
It's 3D graphic being able to render on your browser. So,
random question, and yes. I don't know if you know the answer to this off the top of your head. What does the GL stand for? Graphic something?
Graphic library, I think.
Oh, that makes sense.
I was wondering what G stands for, but if you know what G stands for, let us know. But
graphical.
I'm pretty sure it's something graphic library. So open is like open source. Is open is you know a lot of anyone can kind of anyone can
use it, contribute to it.
Contribute to it, yeah. So nowadays I feel like there's a couple, maybe two or three different libraries that you can use to build web XR VR experiences on the web. First of all, everyone, it's been there for a long time. It's called 3JS.
Yes, I've heard of this.
I think everyone heard of that. Mm-hmm. And another one that is by Microsoft, it's called Babylon.js.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit less known, but it's more
powerful.
It's more powerful in some way. Mm-hmm. It's more like a framework. It's more opinionated.
I see.
And 3JS is a little bit more like a library.
React versus jQuery or something.
Yeah, it's like library versus framework.
Put this in JavaScript discussion. World.
Yeah, yeah. So
interesting.
And that's how you would build these experiences.
So I haven't really looked into this.
Yeah.
But I'm curious about what does a VR enabled website look like? What can it do?
What can it do? You can from my experience,
I'm just waiting for him to be like anything.
Well, anything like in the
that's not helpful.
You can render. Think of it as you can render any kind of FPS experiences on your browser. Usually the sites comes with
so there's like all a little of our websites are going to be first person shooters.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think We can show a little bit of it later on when we talk about Mozilla Hubs. I think that's the thing that Mozilla is doing right now. And I like what Mozilla is doing. They're doing, they're kind of spearheading a lot of VR, AR technology, bringing that to the web. And I really like that because the web is very ubiquitous right now. It's everywhere. Like any device will have, most likely will have some sort of browser. So I feel like anyone can just build experiences and be able to give you a URL and you could just get there and open it and experience it.
So this is pretty much like saying any website that enables this, that uses, you know, these sorts of frameworks or libraries, can be a game or an experience.
Yeah, exactly. Through VR. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So, because we've discussed doing things in WebXR.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lost myself a second.
You could say WebVR or
I was
XR.
Like,
I
think WebXR, XR is like WebGL, the success. Web all the things.
WebXR is a successor to WebVR.
Gotcha.
And then right now, I think they want to be more kind of like an umbrella term for it because VR just say virtual reality. But what about AR? What about
AR?
Yeah. I think right now, yes. I think that's why they call it
XR. Oh, that's like the size link thing that we used last week.
Last podcast we talked about. And I think that has to do with...
So that was using WebXR. That was done through the browser. But you could even use it through on your phone instead of having to have a headset.
You can say it like... I haven't really looked into it that much, but I don't know if it's truly WebXR or it's just opening something on your phone, like opening up AR Core or AR Kit on your phone. I think it's a latter. I don't think it's truly a WebXR.
Gotcha. Web,
I mean, sorry. I don't think it's a WebXR AR experience yet. I think AR is a little bit further off. Because it requires
you to. So that would be
to...
saying that if you had an AR headset.
Yes.
And you wanted to open a browser somehow.
Yes.
And
yes.
then you could, you know, access these sort of experiences, AR experiences.
Yeah.
Through your headset without having to download an app for every single one of them.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's the same idea with web VR or VR on the web too, is that you can just load up real quick and just go at it. And I think there are some experiences right now that I've seen out there that allows you to experience augmented reality on your phone as like a web page where you go there, it needs access to your camera, and then you can load it up and it's able to, using JavaScript and stuff, it is able to detect certain things and maybe superimpose an object, the 3D object mesh on top of the real world. That's essentially augmented reality, right?
Right, so. Right. So we've actually talked about, as kind of a dream thing, of doing some WebXR stuff for a while. We haven't actually done any of it, but what are some of the thoughts and ideas aside from the one thing that will be the idea for everything we talk about,
of
the
course.
Claw game.
It's like my Hello
it's his
World.
Hello World,
you know?
Except he's never actually implemented it.
Never.
He just, every like my, type of experience, he was like, okay, just, can we do a mobile game?
A claw
can
game.
Can we do?
A claw machine?
Uh-huh.
VR claw machine, AR claw machine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. Pixel
WebXR.
2D, Pixel claw machine.
Everything's been the claw machine.
Haptic devices for the you know, VR claw machine.
Yes.
Of course.
With your actual hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Although that would be a cool thing. I mean, not that it's a very good claw game, but to be able to do that with the hand tracking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good idea, Allison.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
like
you.
You could just.
I mean, that's kind of a silly claw game because you can very easily pick things up. But
that's true. That's true. Yeah, maybe tweak it somehow. I don't know.
Yeah.
Make it more difficult.
But what other experiences or games do you think would be especially suited for WebXR versus actual downloadable VR content? Do you think there's anything that would work better in this kind of environment?
I think that later on in the we want to go through the next topic we want to talk is Mozilla Hubs, and I feel like that is I believe that is a very cool implementation of it. Is pretty much a virtual meeting room in VR, and you can use it on your browser too, so anyone can just like enter. You can create a room. It's like Zoom. It's like VR Zoom, if you want to think about it that way.
That's where
you can just create a room, and you can be in a headset, and you can send the link, like I can do it. I send you the link and you can join me. Maybe we'll do this next week when we get out of VR device.
That would be fun.
Headset, and then I can create the room. I can enter, and you can enter it as with your browser on your computer, and then you can interact. We can interact together. We can talk through microphone or our mic setup. Then we can talk through that, and you have your little avatar just walking around, and I can, you know, we can interact with each other in 3D space.
I actually do think that is a good point.
Yeah.
That I don't know if you realize you made the point, but being—
Of course I do, Alice.
Of course you do. Then what was the point? Right. So of being able to make XR spaces more accessible to people who don't necessarily have headsets.
Yeah.
Yes. I like that aspect where I can just access it from my browser on my normal computer. And then you, if you have the headset, you can, you know, look at it in VR, but you're not cutting out all of the people who don't, who can't afford it. Because headsets, they're still fairly pricey.
They're still very not.
And hard to get a hold of.
Yeah.
So this is a great way to open up the world of VR to all of these people who it may otherwise be closed off to.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I like that aspect of it. Exactly. That is a really cool thing that I think you can probably do with a WebXR.
Yeah.
I don't have the link open right now, but I was showing you the other day about this dinosaurs experience.
Yeah.
Where it's meant to be viewed in VR, but I was able to open it up, access it, play with it in my browser and see, hey, this is a cool little thing. We'll put the link in our show notes, but I like that aspect of WebXR.
Yeah, and if you click on one of these links, you can see that somebody made a customized space in Mozilla Hubs.
It's like a museum.
And it's to make it look and feel like you're in the museum, but better, right? Interactive museum with maybe people in the background. You can see the camera and whatnot. It's like Zoom, but maybe more for VR. So, I mean, and people have been building museum experiences on Mozilla Hubs that anyone can access to and quickly
imagine
be able to get
able
in
to
there.
Go to the museums without having to deal with the crowds.
Yeah, exactly. Or getting in line if you're in like Paris and you go in one of those, actually any
That's
museum
why
we in
went
Paris.
To Paris and didn't go to a single museum because
yeah,
of the lines.
Too crowded. But yeah, so speaking of virtual meeting space, I would, you know, it would have been, I feel like, much more accessible for Microsoft to do their dev days or anyone to do this on Mozilla Hubs or something on the web where anyone can get to it.
Is Altspace a Microsoft company?
I don't think so. I don't think it is. I mean, maybe they're looking to buy them because it seems like they're doing a lot of stuff. But although, you know, to be fair, Altspace VR has a lot more is more powerful, in some way it looks better, it's a cooler experience.
Yeah, I'm not really complaining about Altspace as a whole. I just feel like it was not the right choice for the way they wanted to use it.
It just
made the conference very inaccessible.
It was just very difficult to get in there be
able
to.
I mean, it feels like a bad thing if, especially now when so many things have been made so easy on the web, if now they have to send you an email with a list of instructions on how to set it up and how to get in before the conference.
Yeah, that's when you know there's like, hey, like, you know,
there's a barrier to
maybe,
entry here.
You
it's
know,
not.
Don't make the user think, right? I mean, that's one of the
you
famous.
You shouldn't make these things this complicated, especially when there are so many options that make it so much easier.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, speaking of making users think, I feel like the big part of the next wave of XR is user interface, right? Did we want to talk about the React 360 today? Yeah.
I think there
right
we go.
There. I feel like we both of us, we're both software developers. Yes. We work mainly on the web. So we dealt with React, Vue.js,
I mean, we've
and
been
all
doing
that.
So much React for client projects, personal projects.
Yeah.
A huge amount of React and Vue.
So it makes sense for Facebook being
the company
that backed React to be creating React 360, because they're also the one that you know create Oculus Quest.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, you know, React 360, that's going to be, they're trying to build the React version for 3D VR experiences. So I think that's kind of cool, because I feel like in the future it's going to be a lot more stuff in VR and
right.
3D space, and UI is going to be, you know, very important.
Mm-hmm. So would this be an alternative to like Babylon, or is this something else entirely?
This is something else entirely, I believe.
Okay, so what would you use React 360 for?
For like, say, if you want to make an app,
yeah,
like a dashboard. Just think of the dashboard of the future.
Okay,
and you have a bunch of buttons and stuff like that, and mm-hmm. you can build it out. This is my I have not looked
so
into.
So this
it.
Like the component library.
Yeah, it's almost kind of like that, where okay. you have components and stuff, and it's to make it easier for you to build.
Gotcha.
You know, web page in 3D, I suppose. We can throw through it
yeah.
on and see what's going on. But you know, like you have the canvas, you can set it up, you can put the button here, put a button there, and when you click the button, it's able to. It's like React.
Uh-huh.
I think Babylon.js is almost you can think of it. Babylon.js is like Unity, where you can build any kind of experiences.
Okay.
You can build a game. You can
so
build.
So it's a little more on the game dev side of things versus this being on the web page. Yeah.
Not saying
UI
that you can't build games with React, because some people have tried building game with React.
You can do anything if you try hard enough.
Yeah, exactly. They're all just code. just code anyways,
anything
right?
is possible.
Yep.
Maybe really difficult, but it's possible.
Yes, yes. So yeah, so I think that this is going to be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we get to that
so
mass...
many technologies to play with,
yeah,
so
know,
little
so many,
time.
So many things to learn about.
I want
about.
To do it all and yeah. I have no time.
Yep. And I think this is going to be, there's going to be a lot of opportunities in the space of making UI... and or building UI experiences for
mm-hmm.
VR.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine that's going to be something that's important in the future. But before we go on, I want to go back to Firefox Reality, because we were talking about WebXR. What is exciting to me or what makes me excited is that they're starting to support gaze support. Are they adding gaze support to...
To
Firefox Reality? So it just means that you can it means you can control, it's like controlling your cursor with your gaze, instead of having to use your like a mouse or like a, you know, like your controller to control where you're clicking. You can just gaze in that direction. I don't exactly know how they're doing this. Yeah, just stare really hard. I don't know how they're doing this, but hopefully.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how it works, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah, hopefully, because it's WebXR
mm-hmm.
is a standard
mm-hmm.
That opens it up to Oculus Quest implementing the standard and or other devices implementing.
Yeah, and they were saying that it'll be good for headsets that don't necessarily have controllers.
Oh yeah, that's
included
true too.
As
that's
part
true.
Of them.
Yep.
So it makes a lot more things possible.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
It's going to be exciting. The future is it's very exciting. And speaking of, because we mentioned 3JS,
mm-hmm.
Babylon.js, I think Mozilla A-Frame is another one that's you can use to build AR. I mean, not AR, VR experiences on the web. And also, I think Mozilla released something called the Unity WebXR Exporter. That you can use in Unity. So you can use Unity to build and export it into a WebXR experience.
Exciting.
I haven't tried this myself. I should, though.
You
should.
And maybe you absolutely should.
We're going to do this when we get out. There's so much I want to do when we get the headset. Now that we have some more free time, we can kind of explore
free time
and all sorts
of... We have a podcast to do.
Yeah.
We have
That's true.
YouTube videos. We have blog posts.
have
we have so
much
stuff.
Yep.
free time. Bah.
What is that? I think it's a myth. Free time's
I don't think it exists. You can't convince me. The last thing we wanted to discuss today are these temperature illusions that were created by some researchers at the University of Chicago.
And so what they did, Allison, was that they used these, if you're watching us right now, they use like this little device. I believe it's controlled by Bluetooth. Yeah, it's
under Bluetooth. Your nose.
It's controlled by Bluetooth and it's synced up with your headset. So when you're in an experience, when you're watching VR and you're in an experience where it's hot, it triggers to the little device in front of your headset to release certain chemical to immolate hot and cold weather. And for hot weather, it's releasing something called a capsaicin.
Mm-hmm.
To immolate being hot. And capsaicin is something that is a component of chili pepper. So like when you eat chili pepper, like that's, you know,
it's what makes you feel like you're burning. Yeah. Even though your body's not actually warm.
Exactly. And when you're in a cold weather, mm-hmm. or an environment or situation, it releases something called the eucalypto.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a component, it's a main ingredient for mouthwash or a cough suppressant. Cough drop, for example.
Uh-huh.
And so that's how it immolates hot and cold weather. It's really interesting.
This really makes me think of like Icy Hot, Tiger Balm,
yeah.
those sorts of things, yeah. that I think use the same ingredients,
yep.
and they make you feel like your muscles are hot, yeah. or cold when you rub it on your muscles. And even though your body temperature is not actually changing, so
you feel like
if you've used those sort of muscle rubs, you kind of know how this feels.
Yeah, and we definitely have a lot of that at mm-hmm. home. So next week when we get the headset, Austin, I can do this for you. I can do this for you.
Is that it's not odorless?
Oh, it's not. Okay, that's true. Oh, that's true, right? Because it needs to be odorless, because I don't want to be in a cold environment and I'm just getting like icy hot coming through my nose.
I'll clear your sinuses right up. But
regardless, Allison.
I do really love that this is odorless.
We can do this next week where you go be in the device and you tell me when you're in an environment where it's cold.
I'll do it to you.
And I'll have two fingers. I'll my one finger with icy hot,
uh-huh.
and one finger I figure out how to get chili pepper.
We've got some chili crisp in the fridge.
Yeah,
you stick your finger in that chili oil.
Yeah,
and you will regret it for the next 5 days, yeah, but it's okay. It's in the name of science. Okay.
Exactly. We're going to test this out where you will tell me when it's cold or when it's hot, and I'll stick my finger in, the appropriate finger up your nose.
I don't think it needs to go up my nose.
Well, you got to get the
just like
full
in front of my nose.
Okay, I'll stick it there. And then you can tell me, it's like, oh my God, I feel warm. Oh my
so
God,
cozy.
I'm so immersed in
I'm
this.
I'm burning.
Don't you think that's a good idea? I mean, we got to test this theory out, Allison. Somehow, some way. So we obviously do not have the ability to make this hardware right now.
I feel like we'll wait for the system these researchers came up with, because it just seems a little bit better.
Are you sure, though?
Look,
I think that's fine.
To your VR headset.
I know. It's really cool. It looks kind of funky, though, but I'm sure as technology goes, it's going to be better.
Doesn't look funky
about
VR headsets?
That is true.
All of it looks
funky.
We
all look like a bunch of, I don't know.
Just, we all look like a bunch of dorks.
Yeah, exactly.
An extra little thing at the front and going under the bottom. It really just makes you look more cool.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes you look like a cyborg.
But Allison, did you know that capsaicin
yes.
is a chemistry makeup of it is 8 methyl and vanillo and 6 nonamide.
He's trying so hard to sound smart. So hard.
Please. Let us know. Yes. Let me know that.
Who in the audience knew that?
Yeah.
I'm sure you didn't.
This podcast is nothing but educational.
We're the most educational. Okay, but I do love the idea, because this kind of relates to like haptics.
Yeah.
And the idea of being able to feel things in VR.
Yes.
And I think that's just such a cool system.
Yeah, yeah. It would be so immersive. I feel like if we If we were born right now, if I can just freeze myself for the next 100 years and just like reawake myself in 100 years. Well,
turn forward time.
Yeah, exactly. First of all, but seriously though, I feel like in 50 years, I mean, even 20 years.
10 years.
10 years even. Technology is going by so fast right now. All these things going to be, we're going to be like the Matrix. We're going to be in this experience that it's just going to be so real. Our hypothetical
eventual grandchildren are just going to be like,
yeah,
grandma, grandpa.
I remember, yeah.
Y'all are so old fashioned.
You're so old school with this XR stuff.
We want to use our PCs and type on our keyboards. And they're just like, who does that anymore?
Yeah, they're gonna be like, what XR? It is just reality then, you know? It's gonna be JR.
Why would you want reality without JR, really?
Yeah, just reality. Just reality.
Cool. We're gonna copyright that.
Copyright. It's just reality.
It's a new thing.
It's a new thing.
I want you all to start using that term.
I hope I'm gonna write a letter to Mozilla JR. And get Mozilla to support JR too with their XR initiative. It's just reality. But yeah, what kind of things can we build with this? I mean, think about like, let's just think that this is available for us right now. What will we build?
Imagine, you know, to be able to, okay, not like, this specifically, but I'm imagining cooking.
No, I'm like, no, forget cooking, sorry. Allison. With every new devices and apps platform, what's the apps that people build? Fart apps.
There's going to be a fart app.
Exactly.
Ew.
Right?
Best I mean, new use. Just like a slight warm breeze.
Yeah, some warm breathe. Just we need I don't know, chemical stuff to
warmth. Yeah. And a little bit of stink.
Lots of stink. Depends.
More than a little bit of stink.
You have like a little in the option menu, you have a little gauge, you have little options to turn up.
How farty do you want this fart to be?
How stinky this is. You know? I don't know. Let us know. You know, what would you build with all these new little
fart
contraption
app. Fart app.
That's gonna be in our YouTube comments.
Just all of the comments are gonna be fart app.
You know, speaking of farts, these little additional haptic contraption on your VR. I think if I remember correctly, I've seen something on Twitter lately that somebody is working on taste. Too. Taste.
Really?
Yeah, you can.
I haven't seen that.
It's so weird, though. I don't know how you're gonna.
Do they use combination a smell of, aspect?
I don't think so. It's like I just saw something on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's fake news.
Who knows?
But somebody's just like some little device where you could just put your tongue, like stick on your tongue, and it's generate different chemical or electrodes or whatever to simulate.
That seems so uncomfortable.
I know, that is so weird. Just like
you're just gonna be drooling everywhere. Plus me.
And then you get electrocuted.
That just seems like the worst thing ever.
It is. But yeah,
it would be cool if it worked, but like,
yeah, that's,
I am not signing up to be the guinea pig for that one.
But you know, then that would solve the problem of everyone who watches our Twitch stream, our cooking stream on Twitch.
Our cooking stream.
twitch.tv/sushi day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then now imagine 10 years from now, people, everyone and watching our stream.
Don't
will
you
be,
worry. We can zap your tongue.
Yeah, we can zap your tongue. And, you know, we're cooking some delicious mapo tofu. You can taste it right now. Just stick this thing in your mouth. Immediate tasting.
Zapping your tongue. Spicy foods.
Durian. I'll just feed our audience durian, like feed our viewers, like, oh, you know, just put this in your mouth.
Nobody who's smart is gonna use that for our stream, because we would do that shit to them.
I guarantee you this is gonna be the best tasting pizza ever, and then they stick it in there and the, all the taste, you know. But durian though, without the smell, durian's delicious.
It is
sweet, it's creamy, so without the smell it might be tasty, but then without the smell, would it be durian? That's the question.
The real philosophical question. Here on.
To be durian.
Access reality.
To not be durian. So yeah, what will you build if you have a smelly device?
But is it any type of smells or just the hot cold?
Yeah, that's true, right? Because hot and cold, even hot and cold, it would be interesting though.
It would be interesting because it'd be really cool for games where you're swimming or you're in a snow environment, you're in outer space,
That's true.
They're in a desert. There are so many environments where having that extra sense of temperature would definitely add something. I think it would be maybe interesting.
That would be interesting.
But that being the only one, I don't know. One aspect I can think that, or one situation that I can think that could really benefit, because I feel like a lot of these would be cool, but maybe a little gimmicky and maybe wouldn't add that much.
Yeah.
One place where I think it might add a ton is in horror games.
Oh, yeah.
Being able to just give you a chill.
That's true.
Or just make you feel just a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Make things that much scarier.
Yeah.
I will never be the one testing those. I hate horror games.
Would it be horror game, or maybe just like, if you think about it, you're walking on top of lava or something and it's really hot.
Well,
and it gives you that sense. Would that be horror too?
No, not really. That's more action.
Action.
And okay. I don't know that it would really add that much.
You don't think so? Just walking on lava?
Because I don't know that you would. Well, I don't know how much this will raise or lower your sensation of temperature.
Right. That's
true. But I can't imagine it getting hot enough to feel really, really uncomfortable. Like, I need to get out of the situation immediately.
Yeah.
I also don't know if you can control how long you're feeling.
That's
because if it sprays on you,
maybe,
is it gonna like, can you control when it goes away?
Maybe it's just as long as you can as you are in that situation.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it like constantly has to be spraying at you.
Yeah,
because, or if it's like icy hot where you rub it in but then you feel it for a while.
I see. Yeah.
So that's I'm not sure about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we were doing what I said I'm gonna do, just sticking my finger up your nose, I can control the duration, Allison.
But
I promise.
But you can't, because
after
your finger goes away,
I'm still gonna feel. That's true.
The chili oil in one nostril and the icy hot in the other.
Okay, I'll bring napkins. I'll rub it off. And then when you're, just tell me when
you're out. Okay, you know that doesn't actually work.
That's true.
We tried that.
That's true.
Do you remember when I cut all those?
I just pour milk on you.
Okay, do you remember when I cut all those jalapenos and it was like a week where my hand was burning?
Oh, I don't remember because I didn't have to experience it, but, but I'm sure you did remember.
It was very unpleasant. I now know, always wear gloves when
always
you're cutting
wear gloves.
Jalapenos.
Exactly.
Or you will regret it.
Forever.
I regretted it.
For a week. Well, you
very
regret it forever, but you felt it for a week.
Yes. But yeah, I'm very interested in the direction that this research is going.
I don't know. With all these little haptic devices, because I remember when VR was first came out and it was a thing, and people were building like... I remember going to some sort of
conference, right?
Or some in LA, in Los
VR
Angeles,
Dev Day?
VR Day, some sort of
something
like a demo show or whatever, VR Day or something, where people were setting up these. They have like these USB fan where they simulate that you're in a windy situation,
right?
And it's just kind of funny because now if you think about it, in the future, we have all these haptic or feedback devices. We're going to be just in a big old suit or something, or in a weird, you're going to have a special room where you go in there and experience VR to the fullest.
Have your VR rooms.
Yeah. And what about if you're swimming, Allison? Would you just, the room would just fill up with water? What if you're drowned? Oh, wait. That's like
I
a matrix.
You, that just, far.
You die in VR.
No,
you
but
die
I think
in
there,
real life.
There are ways to make you feel like
you're water.
You're
underwater.
Underwater.
Oh, okay. You know what? We don't have any. We're not good with hardware. We're just software people. I'll spray. I'll get a can of spray, water spray. I'll spray at you. When you're in water, just tell me. I'll splash some water on you. It's going to be great.
He's going to short circuit.
I will immerse you, Allison. I will give you the most immersive experience ever. But yeah.
Yeah, I want to see where haptics goes.
Yeah.
But I definitely feel like a lot of the things that we've seen, this one actually seems reasonable because you can just attach it to your headset. It's not this big extra thing. A lot of the haptics things that we've seen have been like, okay, but realistically, is a person at home gonna buy this and set this up and have the space for all of this equipment.
Like a big old fan.
Yeah. It seems like a good idea for like those VR arcades, kind of.
Yep, that's because true.
That makes sense, where you actually do have a whole room where you can set up all this stuff and you have the money probably to do, you know, buy all of this extra stuff for the experiences. But for a home, you know,
it's going to be
user, I don't think most of it is going to work as well.
I feel like most, like you said, it's going to be a little bit on the gimmicky side, but you know what? It's cool. It's cool.
Yeah.
We'll see where it goes. It's an exciting time right now.
It is.
And everything is going to, I feel like it's going to change in the next 5 years.
It's going to be really cool. It's going to be
very interesting. And we're going to be in the front seat. Yes. We're going to go see it all. Like I said, I'm going to have my fingers ready for you next week. I will immerse you in this reality, Allison, of two fingers experience.
Very uncomfortable with this.
The two finger experience is what I call it.
I am not comfortable with this. I'm going to go around like this so you cannot get into my nostrils.
That's all for this episode. Thank you for listening.
And thank you for all the feedback that we received last week for our first episode. We're going to try to incorporate all that into our future episode to make this podcast better.
You can find our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and SoundCloud, and wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And for the visual version of this podcast, check us out on youtube.com/sushicodes.
Our show notes for every episode can be found on sushicodes.com. And if you have any questions, comments, feedback, or ideas of what we should get for our quest that's coming soon, let us know either on sushicodes.com or on our YouTube channel on youtube.com/sushicodes.
See you next week. Bye-bye.